of this congregation of God's people. This is the Fishgate Church. Those of you who've been here, you may not have felt the bump when we made the transition at midnight on New Year's Eve. Today you may not have noticed anything particularly different. We have spirit-filled people gathering together, praying Him, seeking Him, listening to Him. It's really been the hope of the leadership team that the transition from our association with the Uniting Church to independence will go really smoothly, and that has been the case. And I think we can really give thanks to God that last week we had a farewell from the Uniting Church, and that there was no rancour in it. There was no angst. There was no tension, but a real sense of God having led us to where we are. And that was a great, really a wonderful thing. Philip Gardner commented to me, he wondered if this week was going to be as low-key as last week was. Well, the Holy Spirit put paid to that, didn't he? But there's another reason why we may not have felt the bump. And that's because the grace of God that's come to us in Jesus Christ means that for every Christian, every day, every moment, in fact, is a new beginning. New beginnings are par for the course. That's what we do here. We are a church of new beginnings. For ourselves and for others and for the world. So today we celebrate and pray for a new beginning for us in the mission of God. But that is really what we pray each week. Many weeks, not every week, I chide myself for this. Here at the Fishgate, we begin the service with an invocation of the name of God. We gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Saying this is not simply something we do, like that's the Fishgate thing, nor is it a process simply to put the Christian trademark on our service. The reason we have the invocation, the reason we proclaim the name of God at the start of our service, is that something happens when we hear the name of God. It's not something that happens to God. It's not that we bring God down to us or make space for Him in our meeting. He was here first. Before the doors were unlocked. It's rather the opposite. It's something that happens to us, something that God does to us, not that we do to God. God the Father calls us to Himself, makes space for us in His own presence. How wonderful is that? And He works in us to include us and renew us in His gracious purposes. He is making everything new. And when we hear the name of God proclaimed at the start of the service, it's like we've been drowsy and somebody throws some cold water in our face. Oh, God's making everything new. We wake up. Jesus Christ, God's Son, stands among us as we gather in His name. He says that, doesn't He? Where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am with you. And He serves us as He renews us in the love and mercy of the Father. And the Holy Spirit fills us and gives gifts among us to strengthen us in our calling in the world. And so the proclamation, the invocation of the triune name of God opens and expands our hearts to believe and to know and to feel the unseen reality of all that God is doing among us when He gathers us together. We gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The name of God awakens us out of our sleepiness. It alerts us to the awesome fact, that here and now, God Himself is doing His renewing work of grace. Right here, right now. Today is the day of salvation. today, as we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are being given a new beginning in the mission of God. That happens every week, but we feel it particularly today, don't we? This first Sunday we gather as a church, now an independent congregation in the Crosslink network. We began Christian life when we were baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how our new life began, was our immersion into the name of God. Life began again that day. For some of us, that happened when we were very young. For some of us, faith in Jesus Christ came a lot later. But life began that day. And that new life was a beginning for all of us in the mission of God. And now, every time we call upon or hear God's name, it's kind of like saying, remember what happened? I'm doing it again. I don't know about you, but sometimes we come to church with all kinds of burdens, disappointments, shames, sadnesses, and the list could go on. And then we hear the name of God, and God brings us into his presence. Afresh, we gather together, and he's renewing his grace in us. We heard that great reading. I'm diverting from my notes a little bit here. It's been one of those sermons I've really puzzled on, this one. I want us to hear God's word to us today. And in that reading, that it's almost like you had been studying Hebrew, the way you dealt with those place names in there. They were really quite tricky, but good on you. But in this reading, it's a word that's actually going to the people of God, Israel, at that time. And it's going to them where they are in a situation of immense disappointment. Everything had gone wrong. They themselves had got themselves into a dreadful state. Israel had turned away from the living God and worshipped idols. The Lord had sent an invading army to defeat the nation, and Jerusalem had been wiped out, burned down. Some people had fled to Egypt, others had fled or had been taken captive to Babylon, and the whole nation had really been dispersed. And here, the day that Isaiah proclaims this message is a brand new day. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He goes on, he says, for behold, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord has arisen on you, and his glory will be seen upon you. It was a day of salvation. And I want to say that to you today, that today, however we've come to this new beginning of the new year, to this new day, to this new start for us as a congregation, I want to say this. You got no baggage. It is a new day. At Strathalbyn, we get really, really wonderful sunrises. One morning we had this superb sunrise, and I rushed out and took a photo of it, and Liz put it up on her Facebook group of knitters. She's connected with all these people who knit socks around the world. There's such a thing as a fellowship of sock knitters. And one of the women who saw the post dyes wool, and she got that photo and she looked at it, and she's dyed wool called Strathalbyn Sunrise. And sent a ball to Liz, and it's beautiful. But the wonderful thing about those sunrises is that if you wake up early enough, you can see the darkness, and then you see a faint light, and then the sun makes its way over the horizon, and suddenly the sky lights up. And if you're standing out the back, the light shines on you, and you get all the colours of the sky shining on you. If you're wearing a white shirt, it's really beautiful. It's stunning. All the light of the sunrise shines down onto you. And that's what the Lord was saying to Israel. He's saying, you've been in darkness, you've been in this despondency, you've been in a situation of your own foolish making. True enough. But look, I'm doing a new thing. A new dawn has come for you. And whoever you are today, I want to say to you that in Jesus Christ, God is bringing that new dawn to you. Today can be the day when it all begins again. We gather sheepishly and we feel the weight and shame of our sins, but we hear God's name today and know that he is gracious and merciful. And so it's time for life to begin again. Today is for us a new beginning in the mission of God. So what is the mission of God? What is God doing? And what's our part in that mission of God? Quite simply, what God is doing is he's working so that the world can live again. That's what God is doing. God is working so that the world can live again. By sending his son into the world, God the Father has acted to liberate the world from the powers of sin and death and evil. And at the end of his great mission, through what he's done in Jesus Christ, there will be a world in which there is no more sin or death or evil. That's what God is doing. It's a dead cert. It's going to happen. Ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can say that with assurity. This world is coming. We're living in the dawn, the light shining to us from that world. It's a world coming in which the impact of sin and death and evil will be completely removed and completely healed. There'll be nothing left of it. And this is the best bit. It'll be a world in which there is only love and holiness and goodness and truth and righteousness. Only those things in everything. Everything we encounter will just be shining with all of that as the light of God shines. And this goal, this great end that God has got in mind has been secured by Jesus Christ. He's come among us. The light of the world has come into the world. And he's dwelt among us and he's lived as one of us and he's shared our common life. And in this life, he has actually been the beginning of this new world. And he's taken the old world to the cross and he's, as he was crucified, that old world with all of its sin and death and evil was put to an end. And when he rose again, this new world, this liberated world, this world made new, rose with him. And became the future for us. Every day, now, the newness of life that Jesus has brought is actually now making its way around the world. It's making its way to women and men and girls and boys everywhere as the message of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. And every day, someone, thousands of someone's, a finding that Jesus Christ means I can live again. The world is new. Now for Isaiah, the people of God have a central part in the mission of God. That's the mission of God. That's what he's doing. But what's our part in it? What would you say from the verses we've heard? What's the main thing we have to do? Shine. That was the only command in there. Arise. Well, we have to get up and shine. In other words, we actually have to, our main task is receptive. We don't shine out of ourselves. We shine as the light shines on us. And we see it. We're coloured by the gospel of God. It shapes our lives. And that's the central part we have in the mission of God. Every congregation of God's people has a part in God's mission. How do we take our part? Quite simply, we live the life that's begun in us. We live in the light. Isaiah calls the people of God to arise and shine because their light has come. Our participation is first and foremost receptive. We're such activists, we just need to put that aside and receive. We have to receive everything that's ours in Jesus Christ. We'll never get to the end of it. All of that love and holiness and truth and goodness and rightness, all of that coming to us all the time from Jesus, and he working in us to conform us to his likeness. And our first responsibility is to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon us, because the Lord rises upon us and his glory will be seen upon us. So that's really important. As a congregation of God's people, we're to stir one another up to love and to good works. We're to stir one another up to our being in the light of God. And I tell you what, that is a remarkable thing. You look at the fish gate, I wouldn't say it's scungy, but it's not much. I think that's what Phil Gardner was kind of meaning when he said it was very low key last week. It wasn't, I don't think we're ever going to get people coming to us and saying, could we run a seminar for the churches of the world on how to be a church? We are sheepish. We're sheepish in that we're sheep. Sheep of the shepherd. But we're sheepish in that we've got a lot that kind of isn't quite right. That's okay. If ever we thought we had a name, I think the Lord would make pretty soon, sure soon, that we would not have a name. But here we are with this congregation, and I'd want to say it's one of the most remarkable things in the history of the world, even though it's not much. What it is a congregation in which God is at work, in which the light of the gospel is doing its transforming work. And in this dark world, a place where there's a people who are gripped by the love and the goodness and the holiness and the truth and the righteousness of God, that's a beautiful thing in the world. Isaiah, as he's giving this vision, this word from the Lord, he's calling us, and he says, as you do that, as you arise and shine, guess what's going to happen? Nations are going to come to your light, and kings to the dawning of your brightness. Lift up your eyes and look. There's people coming from everywhere to have a look at you. This congregation of God's people, and every congregation of God's people, it's a sign in the world of something that's never been a human possibility before. A sign of the new beginning that is ours in God. And so you get all these people coming from all over the place, like Midian and Ephah and all those other places, that they're coming and they're saying, who is like the people of God? In the book of Deuteronomy, when God gives his law to Israel, his law was really to reflect his character, to be lived out among them. And he says there that people will look at you and say, who has a God like they have a God? What a wonderful law, what a wonderful way to be. So here we are as God's people, and God's working in us in such a way that by our life, we're a light to the world. It's not because we're getting everything right, but because God is at work, working his grace among us, and that is what is bringing out a responding love and a newness that hasn't sprung from us. It's not because we're trying really hard to be a great church. It's because God is working so powerfully among us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to conform us in all kinds of ways to his likeness. So our participation is first and foremost receptive. God's light shine on us, and so we shine as lights. God's mercy comes to us and renews us, and so we become proclaimers and ministers of this mercy. We arise and shine in both our lives, but also in our words. Neither on their own really does the trick. It's lives lived in Christ and words that speak of Christ that are needed for people to hear the promise of God that life can begin again. Those two things. If you just say life can begin again and you live your life like it never has, that doesn't happen. But when you've been caught up into the renewed life of God that he's worked in you, and then you're saying, Jesus has actually done this, that says something in the world. If you just live it, people might think it was just you. But if you say, Jesus has done this, then that's a possibility for everyone. When I was at Lark's Bay, I wish I'd known this clearer at the time, to say this, that it's always Jesus who's working it in us. There was a man who lived around the corner who'd been in and out of prison, had got HIV through drug use, and who was an alcoholic. And every day he'd walk past our place, and I got to know him pretty well. He was a lovely guy, but he was a bit awkward, really, because, he was often asking for help in various ways. And once he turned up about 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning, banging on our door, and we lived next to the church. We were a sitting duck. And I kind of miss it, really. It's really good to be a sitting duck for people in need. It's really good to be a sitting duck so that you don't get to choose. But anyway, this guy was knocking on the door, and I finally got out of bed and opened up the door, and I asked him what it was, and he said he needed $20 to buy a mattress. I said, if I give you $20 to buy a mattress, you're going to be peeing that down the toilet in about half an hour, that $20. If you really need a mattress, come and see me in the morning. Bang. Well, he came back the next morning and he said, I didn't need a mattress. You were right. I just wanted it for drink. And then he said, I wish I had your life. And we just started to have a conversation. And I wish I'd known better then what I know now, to really say to him, this life is actually a new beginning that anyone can have. It's the new beginning of the mercy and kindness of God. Any one of us could say to another person, arise and shine. Light has come. And today, life can begin again. Well, at the beginning of the new year, and for us as a congregation at the beginning of a new stage as an independent church, it might be tempting to do what we are often tempted to do when we're about to start something new, to plan, to set goals, and to develop resolves. Someone asked me about that the other day. You know, what was my approach to kicking us off? Well, I just want to say this is what we always do. I hope it's what we always do, which is we look to the Lord. The temptation to rely on ourselves and to present our, temptation is always to rely on ourselves and to present ourselves then. But we must rely on Christ and present Christ. We can only give what we've received. We can actually only receive when we're giving too. We can only shine when God's grace and love has come to us in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, and these are words that Martin quoted from the bulletin, he says, only God can make a new beginning with people whenever God pleases. If today was our devising, it wouldn't actually be a new beginning. We'd just be repeating the old story. But God's done something new today. People can't make a new beginning with God, but God can make a new beginning with people whenever God pleases. Therefore, people cannot make a new beginning at all. They can only pray for one. Where people are on their own and live by their own devices, there's only the old, the past. Only where God is can there be a new beginning. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today is a new beginning, every day is a new beginning. We cannot command God to grant it. We can only pray to God for it. And we've done that tonight so powerfully as our friends led us in prayer. We can only pray when we realize that we cannot do anything, that we've reached our limit, that someone else must make that new beginning. God has a new beginning for us. It's the same beginning that we know every day, the life given by grace, the new life given by grace. And what he calls us to is to live in the goodness and the fullness of it. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The light has dawned on us in Jesus Christ when we heard his word to us and received his grace in the forgiveness of our sins. A new beginning broke in from outside us. God began something, the renovation and beautification of the world through the renovation and beautification of the church. As we live in this grace, as we thrill and exalt in the glory of the gospel, that's what Kath was doing in her prayer for us tonight. She was thrilling and exalting in the glory of the gospel. As we do that, we are caught up in the going of that glorious gospel to the ends of the earth. Every day when I say morning prayer, my first prayer that I pray in that time is this. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, dear Father, when I say we there, it's what's in my prayer book, but I consciously take that way as I'm praying with you and for you in these words. But as we rejoice in the gift of this new day, dear Father, so may the light of your presence known in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, set our hearts on fire with love for you and for one another, now and forever. Amen. I love that prayer. So at this new start for us as a congregation, for all of us at the start of a new year, I'm going to invite you to pray a modified version of this prayer, which will be up here on the screen. This is our first prayer together, our first joint prayer that we're praying as a congregation. It's up here now. Let's pray. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, this new year, and this new beginning, dear Father, may the light of your presence, known in the grace of our Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, set our hearts on fire with love for you, for one another, and for the world, now and into eternity.